This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. We'll look back at the World Ag Supply Demand Estimates, or WASDE, report. Also, a crop production report out from USDA on Friday. And that's all ahead. Bart Kenner right now, a USDA economist with ag trade numbers for the first 10 months.
Agricultural exports for calendar year to date, January through October 2023, are $143.3 billion, down 18.2% from the previous year. Agricultural imports are $163.3 billion, down 3.1% from last year, for a trade balance of negative $20 billion.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. Easy-to-remember website address, myfuturesadvisor.com, my futures advisor. Make sure you get the S in there, myfuturesadvisor.com. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Tony.
Now, we'll have some more contact information coming up in about 10 minutes, so the clock's ticking. Let's jump in. USDA's crop production report and World Ag Supply Demand Estimates report on Friday, and the market, selling off on wheat and lower close for corn, but cotton and beans higher. What's going on?
That's right. So we got the report on Friday, and we get this monthly from the USDA, the World Ag Supply Demand Situation. It gives us an idea of what expectations are in terms of the USDA's reach in terms of getting data. And the market always goes in with its guesstimates, shall we say, thinking what the USDA might come up with. And we see if we can actually see if it actually lines up with the numbers that came out. So we do that little exercise once a month. And in terms of the market guesstimating the grain ending stocks here in the United States, USDA came out with relatively bullish numbers, so a little bit lower than the market was expecting. I mean, not significantly, gargantuanly lower, but still lower in terms of corn and wheat. And pretty much with soybeans, they didn't do much of a tweak at all. So that's that in terms of the U.S. side of the equation. So I'd say lean bullish. But then if you look at the world crop production situation, and in particular, our competitors down in South America, and in particular with corn and soybeans, the USDA did raise their estimates for production in Brazil for corn by 3 million, and 3 million metric tons, that is, and soybeans by 1.5 million metric tons. So crop got bigger in terms of the USDA's expectations in Brazil. Argentina, they didn't do too much of a change. Pretty much I'm going to call that a push for corn and soybeans. And then if you look at the world grain ending stocks, basically the bottom number, if you're looking at a balance sheet of how much is out there, once you run all these tweaks that the USDA does here for the United States and then down in South America, the size of the crop in terms of what's left at the end of the marketing year, the ending stocks, grew for corn and it grew for soybeans, and it pretty much stayed about the same for wheat. So net in terms of the overall trade, I don't think there was a whole lot of information that would add fuel to the fire for anybody wanting to be bullish, and I don't think there was a whole lot of data that came out of that, at least my interpretation of it, that was overwhelmingly bearish. So more of a neutral report. But nonetheless, you know, at least we see what the USDA is thinking, and it kind of gives an idea of, at least from their perspective, another set of data to kind of work with. The interesting thing, though, is USDA does its guesstimates, but I know as you and I speak as often as we do with your listeners out there, I also cite others, and we've got CONAB down in South America, we've got Safras down there, and those are entities that are giving their estimates also, and we still have a range of expectations. So there's not one consensus, and that's what makes the market, right? It's whether or not you're going to believe it's going to come in a little bit on the lower side or a little bit on the higher side, and that can get tweaked week by week based on things like supply and demand numbers that come out, export sales, and then also obviously weather and events that happen like that, and then also geopolitical things that could rock a country. But nonetheless, the reason I bring this up is because the USDA has the production at 161. That's a million metric tons. CONAB for Brazil, we're talking about Brazil, is 160.2, And then Sofros is 158.23. So, I mean, there's 3 million metric tons difference in some of those, in those three estimates right there between three well-known entities that are supposedly have their ducks in a row in terms of giving us the numbers. So that's what makes markets. So we got the USDA's expectation, but still there is some variation there. And that's for soybeans. About the same story for corn. The USDA's Brazil corn production, just a reminder, there are 129 million metric tons, and CONAB has 118.53 versus 129. That's a 10.5 million metric ton differential. Not quite 10% of the overall numbers that are there, but, you know, somewhere close. Let's call it 8% or something like that, which is huge. So, you know, even though we got the numbers and the market kind of yawned, it's kind of going to be a wait and see. It just felt like the USDA didn't really want to change too much this early in the crop season for development down in South America. We pretty much kind of got a great feel of what we produced here in the U.S. with the last marketing year, but there's still unknowns down there in South America. So that's basically a long story of what I think happened with the USDA report and the fact that it's still not a definite, right, because we've got some difference in those guesstimates. We'll see how that all plays out. And then it's just kind of back off to the week to week and see what other things are impacting the marketplace besides those export sales we might see on occasion. You know, for soybeans, it's what's happening down in Argentina in terms of the weather. Right now it looks pretty darn good. So there's no reason, in my opinion, at this point to think that it's going to be a big surprise in terms of production. I mean, things can change. We know that. But nonetheless, things have come off to a really good start for the production down in Argentina in particular. Brazil, a little bit differential, whether you're looking at the northern or southern part, but net-net, you know, I think right now, at least the worst case fears in terms of dryness on the north side might be abating a bit, which I think is going to help to, you know, probably, even though soybean prices are up 32 cents today, at least kind of stave off any kind of massive rally to the upside. And even though, like I said, we're up 32 cents today, that's not a big move for soybeans. That seems like a pretty typical move for many days. And then in terms of wheat, I think the driver has been China sales. So wheat was down 20 cents today-ish. The hard red winter wheat in Kansas City down 28 cents. The Minneapolis wheat, the hard red spring down 18 cents. And the question is why? Well, you know, China came in recently, bought some big numbers in terms of wheat. I think it was like a little over 1.1 million metric tons they purchased in 1 week's window. And the question that the trade is asking itself now is whether or not that's the start of something new, or if that was just a one-off and it's going to be a wait and see afterwards. So it's going to be really interesting to see over the next couple of weeks whether so many, you know, any sizable new orders come in for wheat, because that'll kind of give us a clue that maybe it wasn't just a one-off. But it seems to me right now the market is telling me that it might be enough done for right now. So we'll just have to see how that plays out. And again, that just comes down to those, that other element, which is just kind of watching the wires there in terms of export sales and see if anything new comes along in terms of the demand base, right? So beyond that, we got the data from the USDA. We look at the charts basically sideways, in my opinion, for corn anywhere between, say, 475 a bushel to about $5, pretty tight range, 25 cents for the last month and a half. And then if you want to widen that out, really we've been between about 520 and 480, 440 cent range since August. So the market has truly found a value zone there. We'll need some kind of bigger catalyst to really push it out. Wheat had its big pop to the upside. And like I said, today we're seeing a bit of a correction. So it's a wait and see of whether new sales can happen. And then in terms of the hard red winter wheat, it also had a pretty good push to the upside, falling back a little bit. So we'll see what happens there. Same story. And then for the soybeans, like I mentioned, it's more about South American weather, see if any new sales come around. But the bigger picture, in my eyes, is that this market has been in a range, a wide range, but a range since about August, similar to corn. The range in the soybeans, based on the Jan contract, has been about 1295 to 1400. So it's a dollar range, not just 40 cents. But still, that's what I see. So again, it's kind of like the corn story. Unless a bigger catalyst comes around to push it out, I think we're going to stay in that little comfort zone that the market has developed.
Okay, just a couple of minutes left. Still have to talk about livestock. And the cattle market, we had a big run-up over the summer and into the fall, and then the bottom fell out. Is there potentially some relief there, or are we moving into a new range?
No, I think there's relief there. the market did fall. The story had been for 9 months out of the year, the relative low supply out there based on the drought numbers that had happened, the drought that had happened over the last couple of years, and the fact that there was big liquidation in the herd, and that things are going to be less and less down the road in terms of supply. And that was the fundamental story. And I don't think that's untrue. But, you know, markets do correct. And this has been a rather significant correction. And one of the reasons they correct is the size of the funds. And, you know, the funds were big longs. And once they see that it's not profitable to be on the long side of the market anymore, they hit the exit at the same time. So they're one of the drivers to the downside. And then the spec community hops on board. And then also the prices moving lower, you know, we're also influenced by the cash moving lower. And that becomes kind of a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy where the Packers are watching the prices come down finally, right? And then the market kind of pushes down, so they feel like they're a little more controlled. Prices can massage the demand side of the equation there, and then all of a sudden you end up with a situation where, you know, they're actually in the red, even though cash has come down like it has, and so has the product, and, you know, they're actually in the red. So that kind of worked its way into the marketplace too, which just kind of is indicative of, you know, the demand base being a little bit softer there, and that's kind of cascades to the downside. I mean, there's other impacts that are other influences that have helped push the market down, but net, that's where we're at. USDA gave us a bit of a hint on the production. They deemed that the 2023 production in that USDA report that came out last week was left unchanged at 27 billion pounds, but the 2024 production was increased to 26.058 from 25.878. So, you know, pretty good uptick in terms of about 200 million pounds expected higher by the USDA for 2024 in the report that just came out last week compared to just a month ago. So that's the other thing that the market's kind of dealing with, is maybe the numbers aren't going to be as bearish. Are bullish, I should say, in terms of the supply side of the equation, if the USDA continues on that pattern of showing, you know, maybe a bit more supply coming in 24. So it'll bottom out at some point. I'm not going to call a bottom or a top. We'll just wait to see when the market has a retest of a low to see if it holds. And I think that'll be the first signs that we'll watch for to see if we can base.
All right. If we want to talk one-on-one, obviously I gave the website when we started about 10 minutes ago, myfuturesadvisor.com. But how else can we talk?
Pick up the old phone. Give me a call. The number is 312-987-2053, or reach out via email at bmaurer, that's B-M-A-U-R-E-R, at mandukatrading.com.
Bob Maurer, Manduka Trading, Chicago, on today's Agribusiness Report.
Countdown 24 is marching onward to Orlando, January 31st to February 2nd, 2024. Have your say in the future of the industry, network with fellow producers, or connect with friendly faces. Plus, the NCBA trade show will be on site with over 385,000 square feet of the latest and greatest in the cattle business to help your operation stay competitive and sustainable. Register today and learn more at convention.ncba.org.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduka Trading, Chicago.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with Bob Maurer online at myfuturesadvisor.com.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Countdown 24 is marching onward to Orlando, January 31st to February 2nd, 2024. Have your say in the future of the industry, network with fellow producers, or connect with friendly faces. Plus, the NCBA Trade Show will be on site with over 385,000 square feet of the latest and greatest in the cattle business to help your operation stay competitive and sustainable. Register today and learn more at convention.ncba.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Another downward adjustment in USDA's estimates for U.S. cotton yield and production.
A pretty modest adjustment, but it is a downward adjustment on what was already a really low yield, lowest since 2003.
Wow, USDA's chief economist Seth Meyer, and yes, USDA on Friday downgrading its previous estimate of average cotton yields by 18 pounds an acre, taking it down by 185 pounds from last year. That would put the crop at 12.8 million bales, 12% below 2022. And to add to the problems cotton growers are already having,
we're definitely moving in the wrong direction for global demand for U.S. cotton producers.
USDA forecasting a drop in U.S. cotton exports, but also another drop in the use of cotton by U.S. mills.
Since about 2000, we've seen a very sharp decline year after year on our domestic mill industry as that milling has gone overseas, and here we find ourselves now below 2 million bales.
Lowest since the late 1880s. Gary Crawford, Washington.